gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Everyone say it with me. Bye-bye, bitch face. Bye-bye, Eric Cantor. Time to unshutter the Montauk house.
Eric Cantor's bitchface.tumblr.com has added a few new things this morning.
Oh, that was a bitch face last
night.
Not like his wife, his wife's face, who also did not look happy.
No.
And most go, finally, most insincere kiss in politics. Someone has topped Alan Tipper Gore. And also Michael Jackson and the Lisa Marie Presley kiss.
Yeah.
That was like, oh, God. He just went in, and she was like, gack. I'm a woman. I recognize the gack reflex.
Yep.
Gack, you loser. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Guess who I booked today? Jim Ward. Jim Ward will be in to make fun of bitch face Eric Cantor.
Awesome.
Sexy liberal Carlos L's Rocky. We might get some dueling De Niro's or whatever, but for the time being, thanks. Thanks for the memories, bitch face.
Bye. For the douchiness,
thanks,
of losing that last race. They put you in your place. You'll have to go to Montauk and put on your best bitch face. How smutty, I want to tell you, you were.
Thank you, Rocky.
Yay.
Oh, by the way.
What?
Because I know, the end of comedy. First of all, Michelle Bachman's leaving, and now Eric Cantor. And he's the last Jew in the Republican Party.
Yep.
Oh, Jehovah.
Lord, the day is at hand.
Oh, God.
We are in the last days.
Of comedy.
You are Jehovah God.
Yeah. And there goes the last Jew in the Republican Party. We're ready for the rapture.
Oh, God.
And this guy that beat him is an Ayn Randian. I'm just saying. Okay. Oh, and we have Dave Mudcat Saunders up at
yes.
the bottom of the hour. He knows all things about Southern politics and such.
And he says we need to watch out because this guy isn't as bad as the media's portraying him.
Hard to say. There's already been some articles on this Democrat has a chance. We were saying Virginia not ruby red and certainly not entirely.
This district
in that
is more conservative than the rest of the state,
right, but not,
it's not.
Not the entire
right.
district. And so I think this could be bad. We'll see if we turn out. As we keep saying, this could be very, very bad news for the Republicans that they keep these, you know,
mm-hmm.
Tea Party back nut bags.
Yeah.
Are I'm just saying, this was pretty unprecedented that a leader, a House
yep.
Republican leader is goodbye.
But Mudcat is an expert in Virginia politics, so let's see what he says.
Let's listen to Bitchface. Hi. Didn't he seem like he was trying to really take one for the team?
Yes.
It's disappointing, I know.
He could still run as a write-in, though. So we'll see if that happens.
I see a lot of long faces. He's such a douche.
Look, obviously we came up short.
No.
It's disappointing. Sure. So I look forward to continuing to fight with all of you for the things that we believe in, for the conservative cause, because those solutions of ours are the answer to the problems that so many people are facing today.
Right, that's why everybody voted for you.
Yeah.
Right, because clearly your answers are best. We're going to need
We're going to need to go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
No,
we have some new people coming in, and we need all the space we can get.
Going to need you to scat now. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Is it me, or is he just the biggest human irritant ever?
He kind of is.
Patronizing. Oh, it's disappointing. I know. Was Ann Coulter there? Is that what he said? Why the long faces?
No, Ann Coulter.
Because she has a long horse
right.
face.
Ann Coulter is totally going for Dave Bratt.
Right.
Oh, she tweeted out last night that we won this one.
Oh, well, should we... Well, if you know Ann Coulter loves someone, he's got to be an even bigger douche.
Yeah.
Let's meet him. Where's my dating game?
All right,
let's meet the new douche, shall we? Bye-bye to the old douche. Let's meet the new douche, shall we, everybody? Meet the Ayn Rand scholar who beat Eric Cantor. There he is. Doesn't his face just say douche, 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 douche?
His students seem to think he's a looker.
you'll
see that
Randolph,
at the end of
Randolph
the story.
Randolph-Macon College.
Yes.
He's an economics professor.
I have a few friends who went to Randolph-Macon.
Oh, really? Now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You are from Virginia.
I am.
Where you wore the original lederhosen when you worked at a...
Busch Gardens in Williamsburg.
Right.
Yes.
Like this has been any sort of elevation in the world. Really.
Well, yeah.
At least I don't make you wear weird T-shirts. Okay, who's Dave Bratt, everybody? someone who thinks the rise of Hitler could all happen again quite easily. What are the chances I get in a Hitler reference before Jim gets here?
I know, right?
Bratt wrote in 2011 that Christians need to rise up and spread the word so that the government won't need to backstop every action we take. What now?
What?
He has a master's in divinity.
Oh, God, one of those.
Oh. Cantor, as I mentioned, is the last remaining Jewish Republican in Congress. Oh, Jehovah God. Oh, the rapture's near. They just raptured the last Jew in the Republican caucus, I'm just saying. He is someone who cares about the... I don't know why this does seem like a dating... Hey, he digs Ayn Rand and walks in the rain. Someone who cares about the Heritage Foundation scoring system for Republicans. If you go to Heritage and look at their score, I think Cantor's is like a 53 right now, he said last night. I mean, that's like an F minus.
Oh, my
so
God.
So he cares what the other douches...
He obsesses
douches,
over that.
Yeah, he cares what the other douches at the Heritage Foundation pick up.
God.
He is, as you said, an economics professor.
That's right.
One of his major papers is titled, An Analysis of the Moral Foundations in Ayn Rand. And he heads the BB&T Moral Foundations of Capitalism program. You know what that means? It means poor people don't have a prayer. In his economics.
Right.
You, okay. funded by Cato Institute head John Allison, a huge contributor to the Ayn Rand Institute at Randolph-Macon.
Mm-hmm.
He likes Rand's case for human freedom and free markets. Oh, right. They'll let the market decide.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Well, unfettered free markets lend to unfree people.
Right.
So
he is,
there's that.
Not a fan. Not a fan of immigrant kids at all. No. He said freedom should not be extended to children who enter this country illegally.
I am not one of your fans!
Get out, little brown ones. He blames Cantor, in part, for the child migrant crisis. Oh, my God. Once you announce that kids are welcome, they're gonna head in, he said. Okay.
Well, that's one of the big reasons he won, was because of his immigration platform.
I know it. All right, so we have met the new douche. That's good. Yeah, that's what they're saying, that this was all about immigration, and he was, because he made some vague rumblings, Cantor, about...
I think it's a little more complicated than that. I think it's mostly because Cantor spent pretty much nothing on get-out-the-vote efforts.
Right.
He spent all of his money on all these ads and everything attacking
right.
the other guy. He didn't spend any money on get-out-the-vote efforts.
Right, but I also think that's good news, that, you know, it's not always the big money, so, you know, a lot of these cokesuckers take note. If you're getting money from the Cokes, he had a lot more money than this guy, and he still didn't win.
Right.
So
you need
so
to spend the money.
But it's what
effectively.
We keep saying about the midterms: turnout.
Absolutely.
And I think we should take heart in that. And look, that position is the teabaggy right that's way, you know, off the mainstream in terms of immigration reform, in terms of what the American people want. And you know, you look at the growing Latino population. To me, I'm like, good, and go. Further to the right, and I have the number in front of me, but the vast majority of Americans want comprehensive immigration reform.
Right.
This is the far right, you know, teabaggy amnesty crowd.
Well, the only people that matter about their views on immigration are the people in that district regarding this race.
You remember the autopsy? One of the first things they said, we've got to do immigration reform if we ever want to win another election.
Sure, as a national party.
Right,
but
now
in this district, that's not that big of a...
That's what I'm saying, though, but this is the good. Let them drag them to their team.
Well, yeah.
Right. Dave Bragg, last night.
The reason we won this campaign, and there's just one reason, and that's because dollars do not vote. You do. This campaign was about just basic American values and virtues right from the beginning, and the basic premise is power belongs to the people.
Wow, he couldn't even afford a good microphone. So, and he still won. All right, so Dave Mudcat Saunders, a lot of people on Twitter last night urged us to get him on because he obviously knows a lot about Southern politics.
Virginia politics.
Yeah, and the particular vagaries, as you say, of this race. All right, so we will do all of that. Jim Ward on his way in, Carlos Alzraki on his way in, and lots more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
She's crafty. She gets around. She's crafty. She's always down. She's crafty. She's got it great. She's crafty. And she's just my type.
She's crafty.
Welcome to it.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Someone gave me this beaver shirt at Minneapolis Sexy Liberal, and I thank you. Isn't it nice? It's not stuffed. These are real. My rack is real. All right. speaking of sexy liberal, Carlos Alzraki, live in hour number three, and Jim Ward will be in when he feels like it.
By the way, we appear to be down on Free Speech TV, but if you go to stephaniemiller.com, we are up there.
Okay.
I'm looking at us right now.
All right. We are having technical difficulties.
Yes, and we're working on it as we speak.
As they say. All right. And Dave Mudcat Saunders coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Yep.
Interesting, Chris, because this was such an upset. You know, Rachel Maddow broke in with the news last night, and I was like, what?
Well, I saw someone email me, said, it looks like Cantor's losing. And I'm like, what's going on?
No way. I
didn't even know that Virginia's primary was yesterday. And so that's, I was like, what's going on?
Right, and you were saying Mudcat says that this is not good. Well, he's saying people are getting it wrong, that he's not a crazy extremist. But Bob Seska, our friend, he wrote a piece today, 9 Reasons Why Eric Cantor's Primary Defeat is Very Bad News for Everyone. Interesting his take. He says, while following the social media reaction to Eric Cantor's primary defeat last night, I couldn't help but wonder why anyone outside of the Tea Party was celebrating this bizarre turn of events. By any measure, Dave Brath's victory was really, really bad news for just about everyone, especially and specifically normals in both parties. I hate to be Debbie Downer, but here's why Cantor's loss is everyone's loss. And he gives us the fun facts. Okay. Number one, Dave Brath is a hardcore, extreme right-wing, John Calvin-admiring Christian Reconstructionist, which we were just talking about, which, among other things, endorses theocratic government. Eek.
That sells in Virginia, though.
Yeah, and he said totally need more of those people voting on laws that impact the entire nation. Number two, Brad is an economics professor, as we said, at Randolph-Macon in Virginia. He once co-published a paper, I already said all this, but Analysis of the Moral Foundations and Ayn Rand. Yep, another Tea Party libertarian on his way to enrolling in a government health care plan while collecting a government paycheck drawn from a redistributed tax revenue. Number three, even though the GOP would do well to jettison the crazies, Brat's surprise victory will force the party further to its right. See, to me, I say good, like I was just saying in the last break. But he's talking about just in terms of governing, making him even more unwilling to bargain with the Democrats or even moderate Republicans. It doesn't seem possible the GOP could be less amenable to compromise, but any remaining wiggle room will be dashed away as more Tea Party candidates like Brat are sworn in. Cantor has been in lockstep. This is what I couldn't get. Cantor has been in lockstep, he writes, against the White House every step of the way, having voted with his party 95% of the time, outpacing the most radical members of Congress, and yet he wasn't hardline enough for his district.
Especially
but again,
in immigration.
But again, putting him farther out of step with mainstream Americans. And then this is the, because you know me, I like the happy clappy, ray of hope news. Bob writes, the Republicans have a serious polling problem. Maybe that's the only ray of sunshine for Democrats.
Yeah.
Ever since the GOP was totally flummoxed by polling in the 2012, it clearly hasn't ironed out its math skills 2 years later. Going into the primary, one poll showed Cantor up 13 points, while an internal Cantor poll showed the incumbent leading by 34 points. You could say that Brat unskewed the polls. By the way, Mitt Romney won in the district by 15 points. McCain won by 7. President Bush won in both elections by 23 points. So,
That shows a problem with the polling, but it also shows a problem with the get out the vote effort. All of these people that they polled said that they were going to go vote,
right,
and then they didn't.
Right, right. I said it over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Turnout. Hello, Susan in Dallas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey,
Stephanie.
Sus.
Stephanie, I'm so excited to talk to you. Y'all need to come back to Texas. With the Sexy Miller. The Sexy Miller Show?
Sure.
That too.
All right.
The Miller Show, you are sexy.
We turned it out in Austin, I tell you what.
Austin.
But all right, go ahead, sorry.
Down there. Anyway, I was just going to point out that Virginia is an open primary state. So this could have been, you know, Democrats getting out and voting in that primary and getting him out of there.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk to Dave Mudcat Saunders in just a few minutes, and I think he's got a, as you said, Chris, he's pretty much special. I mean, Virginia politics.
But that's his herb.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Was that in honor of Eric Cantor? That very pretentious
No,
word?
That's his herb.
It's his wall.
No, it's
Mike,
not au revoir.
Au revoir.
It's not au revoir.
I know, but it just seemed more douchey. Hi, Mike in West Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning, Chris.
Hi there.
I just want to say my whole family lives in that area, and my brother has like 9 children, and lots of them of voting age, and they're all Democrats, and they're trying very hard to keep their sanity.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually organized, his oldest daughter lives behind him, and she's part of the, I think, Republican Tea Party with her husband, and they were driving back from the polling, and daughter said, where were you guys at? And my brother said, well, we were at the polling place. And she went, but you're a Democrat. You're not. So I think there is a lot.
Operation Chaos. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. Anybody but Cantor is the attitude. And when you have that open primary, that, you know, allows for the other side to come in. And
that's right. Mike, that is another thing. Right. It was an open primary.
Yeah. Mike, my my sister and her family live in Lynchburg, Virginia. So I know what you mean. This is what I'm saying. And, you know, they
it's
were
a little
always,
more conservative.
No, but
there.
They were always Republicans. And, you know, she's been a big Obama fan and voter. So I'm just saying, you know, you're right. Virginia is not ruby red. And
right.
I think with turnout, the Democrat could win.
Yeah, my brother is part of the. My oldest brother was a retired police officer who's now fighting stage four cancer.
Oh boy!
So he's a tough man, and he's working real hard at it, and he sees this as an easier way to. I mean, it is a battle of the professors, you know, a sociology professor against an economics professor who.
Yeah, and by the way, the Democrat is
economics.
Yeah,
know?
The Democrat is much more popular with the students, and I think that's important.
There are some douchey right-wing students in Virginia. There really are. I know that for a fact.
But the Democrats more popular. They polled the students at Randolph Macon.
Yeah.
Trammell. Is that his name? The guy that's running?
Yeah.
He just got picked like 5 minutes ago.
Yes, he did.
Cliff in San Antonio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Cliff.
Hi, Stephanie. There's good news and bad news with Eric Cantor losing.
Okay.
The good news is you don't have to listen to Bitch Face anymore. The bad news is you get Speaker Paul Ryan.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
You got to look at it.
I'd like to offer him my premium support as the new premium support.
All right. All right. Love you, Stephanie.
I love you, too, honey. I think John Boehner was having a celebration drink last night. Now he doesn't have to watch for the shiv in his back from Eric Cantor. Let's see. Well, Bob Seska says, save for a major brat gaffe along the lines of George Allen's macaca remark or going all rapey like some of the Republicans.
Right.
Jack Tramiel probably won't win. The last Democratic congressman from the 7th left office in 1971. Never say never, but Tramiel would have to miraculously overcome 43 years of Republican control. So, yeah, I don't think it's easy, but this is a little cattywampus, what just happened.
Nobody expected it. And I think Debbie Wasserman Schultz indicated last night that I think they're ready to pour some money into this race.
Yeah,
whereas they wouldn't before.
You were telling me what she said last night.
She said that... The Republicans have nominated this far-right, you know, lunatic kind of guy,
right.
While the Democrats have nominated a moderate.
Right.
You know, he's a moderate.
Right.
So there is a chance he could win.
Right, and Virginia's more purple, I think, than anything.
Well, that particular
right. I got it,
district
right.
is pretty red.
Lisa in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Stephanie. I'd like to be the Stephanie Miller official veterinarian.
Nice.
Hello.
If that would be possible.
Yes.
I am a Democrat stuck in Powhatan, Virginia, and I have to say I was thrilled over the Cantor loss because even if Brett wins in November, and I mean there's a pretty good chance with that district he will be, he won't have the power Cantor had.
Right.
Now what I wish to see is I worked on Wayne Powell's campaign when he ran against Cantor last time.
Yeah, he was great.
It would be awesome if the Colonel stepped up again.
Oh, yeah, I loved it. We had him on the show, and we're having Mudcat Saunders on in just a couple of minutes.
That was his campaign manager.
Yeah.
Well, and I love me some Mudcat, too. Thanks,
who doesn't?
Stephanie.
Who doesn't? All right, I could just roll around in that honey southern drawl all morning. In fact, I think I will.
Next.
I'm going to roll around in honey next.
And we're going to have his jingle, too. Yay!
Dave Mudcat Saunders next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Please do not tell me I was your mental porn. That's just sad.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, by the way,
what?
Donald Sterling said something again, so we will do a dueling Donald Sterling with Jim Ward and Carlos Rocky in hour number three. He wrapped himself in the American flag and said he's a... American hero.
He's an American
NBA
hero?
Trampling on his rights. NBA's the man, keeping him down.
I see.
Okay, so that's coming up. In the meantime, hey, big, big news. Eric Cantor, of course, defeated last night in Virginia.
Mudcat!
Mudcat!
Mudcat! Mudcat. Excellent!
I caved to Twitter pressure. Good morning, Mud.
Good morning, Steph. How you been?
I've missed that voice so much.
How's things on the left coast?
Good. Big times in Virginia, my friend. What's going on? You said the whole media is getting it wrong. What do you think?
Oh, without question. I was watching this thing last night as a coverage. And, of course, you know, in all honesty, you know, in all fairness to the national media, nobody was following this campaign.
Right.
And nobody's, in fact, you know, in the last campaign that we did in 2012, which, you know, was we got 42% of the vote.
Yeah, Colonel Powell.
We should get 30, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But talking about immigration, that this centered around immigration is insane. And
yeah.
I'll go to question 10 of our poll in 2012 of the problems facing the country that the federal government could do something about. Which of these most concerns you personally?
Right.
Improving the economy and creating jobs, 25%. Controlling government spending, 15%. Reducing the federal budget deficit, 11%. Making health care more affordable and available, 10%. Reforming the way the Congress does business, 9%. Protecting Social Security in the interest of senior citizens, 9%. Issues relating to public school education, 7%. Illegal immigration, 3%.
Hmm.
Wow. This idea that they turned the 7,000 votes the Tea Party did in 2012 with Mitt Romney, you know, with a presidential primary on the same ballot.
Hmm.
I mean, it's nuts.
Well, then what led to his Eric Cantor's defeat, if it wasn't
Eric
immigration?
Eric Cantor, as I told y'all back in 2012, the most telling number in our polling was that Eric Cantor had a 41% across the district approval rating and a 43% replace.
Mm-hmm.
He was arrogant.
Mm.
He couldn't
yeah.
help himself. I mean, he
yeah.
Had,
oh, he is the face of arrogance. I agree
yeah.
with you.
And let me tell you, it bled over. I mean, here's a guy who doesn't do open town hall meetings, only by invitation. Anytime anybody sees him in a district, he's unapproachable because you can't get past him because he has this huge Secret Service group going with him everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
And people got fed up with it. I mean, it's been widely reported he was at a fundraiser yesterday. And it was just pure arrogance. I mean,
yeah.
to have the money that that guy had and not do a great GOTV campaign
is political
incompetence.
Yeah, and Mud, it goes to show you, too, that, you know, big money doesn't always win when you have a candidate as unlikable as Eric Cantor had become, right?
Right, and let me tell you, Dave Bratt and, you know, the Tea Party, obviously, you know, it gave him a boost, without question. But Eric Cantor, 3 weeks ago, sent out a mailer saying, calling Dave Bratt a liberal college professor. Then
wow.
the next week, he
Yikes.
Calls him an extremist.
Well, you know, Mon, that's the question, because it's interesting. I was reading my friend Bob Seska's column this morning, and he said, given how Trammell, is that how you say it? Trammell's odds are grim, the DCC will likely bail out and spend its money in winnable districts. That's not what Debbie Wasserman Schultz said last night. You know, she said, this guy's a Tea Party whack, and we're going to put money in there.
Well, she's going to find out different, because Dave Bratt, and I mean, I've talked to Dave, and knowing... Dave Bratt is a textbook libertarian, is what he is.
Right.
And, I mean, the Tea Party gets 7,000 votes in 2012, and he gets 35,000 last night.
Hmm.
I mean,
so,
Mutt,
give me
a break.
Is this, you know, on balance, good or bad news for Democrats?
I think it's good news for America, is what I think, which is good news for the Democrats. Eric Cantor, I mean, the guy, the things that he did, and it really came out in his campaign, and Dave Bratt, you know, the fact that, you know, he included his wife, Diana, hid her in the Stock Act, exempting her. Mm-hmm. You know, from reporting the fact of the $125 million hedge fund that we talked about on your program.
Right.
And the Cayman Islands that she has. I mean, the fact that his family got $9 million in no-bid contracts in Henrico County to do bill collecting.
This is Eric Cantor's wife.
This is Eric Cantor's brother and dad's law firm that did that. But it was a no-bid contract.
No wonder his wife looked so upset last night. you know, Bob writes, Bratt's victory emboldens the Tea Party and will help energize it in other primaries. What do you think? I mean, this is obviously, I'm sure, struck fear into the hearts of Republican establishment candidates, right?
Right. Well, I was working on a deal down in Southwest Virginia here recently, and I went to three different Tea Party meetings, and all three of them had different agendas. You know, one of them, you know, it was about evangelical Christian stuff. You know,
right.
They were, you know, absolutely pro-life. They were anti-gay. Then you go to the next one, and they're about the Constitution, and people are up quoting the Constitution. Then the next one you go to is about fiscal conservatism. The Tea Party has no organization, and they can't raise money. They remind me a lot of looking to the other side of the States' Rights Democratic Party from 1948, the Dixiecrats.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they were so across the board on the issues, and they couldn't come to any common theme. And do I think this energizes the Tea Party? No.
Well, and I mean, I don't know. I continue to see it as good news that the infighting continues between the Republican establishment and the Tea Party. What do you think?
Sure, but you know, there's fighting amongst the Democrats too going on right now.
Well, yes, there is.
Yes, we've experienced that.
There always is.
without question, you know that. The extreme right and the extreme left right now are dictating, you know, a lot of policies, you know, in our government. And I mean, with gerrymandering, with the courts, you know, not putting a stop to this, gerrymandering these huge, you know, Republican districts like the 7th of Virginia. I mean, why, you know, if you're elected as a Republican and you want to stay, and that's what they're all about, I've never understood why people work so hard to get a job and then don't do anything. All they want to do is keep the job.
Right.
And so you've got to pander to the right wing, you know, of the party.
Yeah.
But Eric Cantor's loss, I don't think had anything to do with that. I think Eric Cantor lost because of his arrogance, the fact that he wouldn't get out with the people, the fact that he was unapproachable, the fact he was awful on constituent services.
Yeah.
And, you know, and another misconception that I heard, you know, keep hearing about in the rural South.
Right.
I mean, give me a break. This district is in Richmond, Virginia, which is a very, you know, fast-growing, one of the 25 fastest-growing markets
there,
in America, and two-thirds of the district is suburban.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I was going to say, I don't know how this is going to play out long-term, but I personally, not having to look at his smug, smarmy face anymore.
Well, could he still run as a write-in candidate, conceivably, or will he?
That'd be awesome for us.
No, he won't do that.
No?
That'd be awesome for us, because then the Democrat would win.
Yeah, but he won't.
That's it. But, hey, you know, it's going to be, it is such an uphill battle, you know, for Trammell in this race against Bratt now that, you know, he's caught all this momentum. And, I mean, a Democrat is not supposed to win that race. And as I said on y'all's program, you know, 2 years ago, it takes a high turnout election in these type districts for the Democrats to even have a chance. And we got 42%, you know, for one reason, because it was 78.9% turnout.
Yeah.
And people despised Eric Cantor.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I say, it's interesting. First of all, we were just talking before the break, Mud, that obviously their polls were all wrong. I mean, once again, the Republicans aren't getting any better at math. That's why I think they didn't see this coming, right?
Well, they didn't understand the crossover.
Mm.
See, what you've got to remember is, like I said, more people voted last night. Like, you go into Jim Moran's district in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
His turnout was 35,000.
Yeah.
And yesterday for the primary.
What can...
And And in Dave Bradder, Canner's primary, it was 65,000, and it was 6,000 more that turned out for the presidential vote in the primary in 2012. It was a lot of crossover.
Thanks
to you people, and I mean, I've never said this, but I'll say it. We've, because of you guys, you know, we raised more money in Southern California than we did in the 7th District. And I mean, we ruined Eric Cantor. We ate him alive.
Yeah. Yeah. If only more Democrats would get that and perhaps get behind supporting progressive radio. Anyway, that's not important now. What's important is, how did the open primary play any role in this? The fact that it's
absolutely
an open primary.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, I see. The crossover.
Crossover vote.
That's what
Democrats
I wanted.
Democrats voted. Ben Jones did a spectacular editorial. Cooter from the Dukes of Hazzard.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he ran against Cantor the first time, and before us, he got 34%, which was the most anybody had gotten before Powell. But he wrote a spectacular editorial saying, hey, this is our chance to get rid of the bastard. let's get out and let's vote for Dave Bratt. And, I mean, it was a lot of Democrats who stepped up. And I know one guy there in Richmond who did a personal phone bank yesterday, getting Democrats out to vote.
Yeah.
Of course, the crossover vote, Steph, you hit it on the nose. That had a lot to do with it. All you got to do is look at the numbers.
Well, and Mud, you know, we all, like Nate Silver became our god, but he was really off on this race too. But he's also the one saying the Democrats are absolutely doomed in the midterms. And I think this race, it's a wake up for a lot of people to go, look, money doesn't always win. Turnout really, really counts. Like, don't believe every media storyline or poll that you hear, right?
Right. And the deal here is they keep talking about the Tea Party. The story, I think, in this upset is the new age of economic populism, economic fairness. And, you know, the Eric Cantor, since he's been in Washington, and this is why he has such a reputation as a fundraiser, this is why he ascended quickly to the office of majority leader, is because, you know, he could raise money. People are sick of that. He is the champion of the greedy, who he was. And let me tell you, that resonated. And what I'm talking about is just people talking on the street, talking at the grocery store. And you see who gave him the money. And, I mean, what did he spend, $5 million on a primary and can only get out 24,000 votes or whatever?
And at least John Boehner can sleep a little easier. He can take off the Kevlar vest, because he doesn't have to worry about getting shivved in the back by Eric Cantor, right?
Yeah, but I think this is the story coming out of this election.
Yep.
Is that economic fairness
is
the issue of the time.
Yeah, and
because the dwindling middle class, everybody right now, Steph, is hurting.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, you don't need to tell me.
Except for the top 1%. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
But I think that is what we learned out of this election.
Yep.
Because Dave Bratt talked often about economic fairness.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's just like, Eric Kinder's like the face of the top 1%. He just is.
Yeah, really.
Mud, great, great stuff. We're so happy we could get you. Everybody on Twitter was like, get Mudcat.
That's right. So we did.
And thanks for getting got. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate y'all calling, and y'all take care and call anytime. I love the program.
Will do.
Thanks, Dave. All right. There he goes. Yay. Dave Mudcat Saunders.
Love him. Love him.
Oh, I love him.
His accent reminds me of home.
Have a little honey with the grits. Okay, 48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
That's funny. Travis said someone called and admitted they were too drunk to talk to me.
Yeah.
You got to be really drunk to be too drunk to talk to me.
And it's still the morning, like,
just
everywhere.
Just saying. God, love you. All right, thanks for trying, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bob Zeska says, sadly, the Crazy Caucus will probably gain a new member next January. I don't know. I think this is, it's pretty cattywampus what happened last night. And I thought Mudcat had some interesting stuff to say about Eric Kenner losing his seat in Virginia last night, which was, it's got to be a shockwave, I think, in the Republican establishment. And I continue to think, if you look at polling on each and every issue, it's good if they keep pushing the Republican Party farther and farther to the right, because they're, you know, this is exactly what their autopsy said is the opposite of, right?
But Mudcat also made a good point, and he said this election and elections across the country are going to be all about economic populism. I totally agree. Well,
which,
and if, and
who's
if the
party of...
But the Tea Party guy ran on economic populism.
Right, but he won't be able to get that done this Congress.
I don't know.
Because they're... Top 1% douches. That's
well,
why
he won't be able to get anything done. Absolutely not. But if he runs on it, that's all that matters. Hey, you know, I'm just.
Excuse me, Kevin in D.C.
I know you don't want to hear it, but
Kevin in D.C. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Kev.
Good morning, love. Stephanie.
Hello. Good morning.
I got to tell you quickly before I get to my stuff.
Why are you talking so quietly?
Oh, I didn't realize.
That's
it,
all right.
But that must be for me.
Oh, I thought you were being sultry. All right, go ahead.
There.
No, I ran across the disc. I have a bad habit of not labeling things I record.
Right.
So I ran across the disc a couple of days ago that was unlabeled. So I ran through it, and to my delight, I ran across the old documentary on Current of You.
Oh, yeah.
The Sexy Liberal documentary. It was fabulous. Yes.
But that...
The Sexy Liberal documentary, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And one of the segments, you were wearing the sexy garment that you wore when you came here, and it brought back so many lovely memories. For those who haven't been to our show, let me tell you that she's beautiful, she's gorgeous, and if you're beat sometimes, she'll give you kisses that make you almost have an accident.
All right.
Let me get to the subject, which is...
I sat on your lap, and we talked about the first thing that popped up.
Ladies and gentlemen!
All right, go ahead.
Yes, indeed. Let me quickly say good riddance to Cantor.
Yeah.
But I want to come along to the gun issue, which once again, you know, in virtually everything else that causes harm to our country, we put laws on it. When there was the drunk driving epidemic, we put laws in it. And people still smoke.
Did you see the president yesterday? I have to say that one picture is the oldest I've seen him look. It's the most pained I've seen him look. He just went off. On the rise of mass shooting, can you imagine his frustration? This is just, you know.
I'm wondering, America. I mean, in one of the incidents, there were three good guys, two of them cops, and one of them a citizen that were good guys with guns. And what happened?
Yeah.
They got shot. No one can be prepared.
Yeah, a bunch of people and all the NRA talking points got shot up. You know, it is absolutely. And I said this yesterday, Kev. You know, this other poor guy in Walmart that tried to intervene. You know, this is part of the, you know, this macho bluster that is further getting people killed, encouraging them to, you know, to act like heroes and then, you know, don't be a pussy. I mean. And it's just they're not trained for situations like this. This is why more guns, I don't think, is ever a good answer.
And we have president other countries tamp down on this stuff. Australia being a famous example.
Yeah.
And the violence went down. Like I said, every other topic, we made laws once this went out of control. So now you think in this instance, the way to tamp down on gun damage is to have more guns? No, you cause more death. As the last couple of days we had now. Two horrific incidents. One you saw that school shooting at the school.
Yeah.
So we have to be smarter than that. As the president said, we don't have a monopoly on crazy people, and yet we have more deaths than anyone else.
Yeah, we've said it over and over and over again. It's absolutely right. That is the main difference. As the president was saying yesterday, you know, we haven't cornered the market on crazy people. They're all over the world. The difference is the amount of guns.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, I mean, it just is, I mean, we were saying on Twitter yesterday, it's like, you know, in a 3-day period when you go that shooting, oh, which one? Oh, no, the one 2 days, oh, the one today. And then we've gotten to the which one, the one earlier today or the one later today. I mean, it's gotten to be the president yesterday. President
the biggest frustration so far is the fact that this society has not been willing to take some basic steps to keep guns out of the hands of people who can do just unbelievable damage.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Drink up your Carnation Instant Bitch Face this morning, everybody. Bye-bye, Bitch Face, Eric Cantor. Bye-bye. Best of luck to you. All right. Jim Ward will be in to salute his return to Montauk.
Yes.
By the way, for some reason, now we need a jingle for Jim. So Rocky Mountain Mike sent this one. We don't remember what it's from. It's the Jim Munchkin jingle.
We represent the Stephanie Show, the Stephanie Show, the Stephanie Show. And in the name of the Stephanie Show, we wish to introduce you to Munchkin Jim.
Oh, Munchkin Jim, okay. I have no idea what that was about. All right, so lots more to talk about. We got started on the latest shootings and the president's reaction to it yesterday. We will talk more about Bitch Face. Bye-bye. And in the meantime, I don't know if we had mentioned this yesterday. This is our friends at The Advocate had sent this over initially. Texas GOP adopts vile ex-gay platform.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Chris Matthews actually said it out loud. He's like, isn't that what Marcus Bachman does? I mean, it doesn't work. The closest a mainstream anchor has ever come to saying he is gay! Gay! Michelle Bachman is gay! See, that's why I normally can't watch, because you have to be too polite.
Right.
You can't say he's Richard Simmons on Gay Crack Gay. But Chris came close enough. And to that I say... Yeah, they adopted a radical right-wing party platform endorsing ex-gay therapy and opposing the, quote, assault on marriage by judicial activists. The anti-gay platform not even actually debated before it was adopted on Saturday. Our guest, Rebecca Coffey, or am I saying this right? Rebecca Coffey, she spent 9 years, this is fascinating,
yeah.
I didn't know this stuff, researching Sigmund Freud and the conversion therapy practiced on his own daughter, Anna.
Wow.
Rebecca, good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
So nice to have you on. This seems so archaic when I heard this. I mean, this is... You know, disproven by what percentage of psychologists? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's junk science.
It's junk science. It's harmful. It's unethical. The American Psychiatric Association and the American Psychological Association both condemn it, distance themselves from it, say that it's potentially abusive. But the Texas GOP wants it, and the surprise is that it's not even effective.
Yeah, well, I mean, their platform says homosexuality must not be presented as an acceptable alternative lifestyle in public policy, nor should family be redefined to include homosexual couples. I mean, it's just, here we go to this just mean-spirited, as you say, junk science debate again.
Well, and it grows out of the late 1800s in Europe, when there was a hysteria epidemic and women were fainting and women were becoming paralytic and talking in tongues, blah, blah, blah. One of the symptoms of hysteria was lesbianism. If you were having sexual relationships with other women, you were deemed to be mentally ill. And way back then, one of the treatments was a clitoridectomy. Another treatment was an ovaryectomy. And Sigmund Freud was seen as humane, relatively, because he didn't refer women for surgery except for one of his early patients. He had her nose removed, actually, because he thought that possibly the seat of sexuality was in the nose, and the reason that she was masturbating so much was that she had a nose problem.
Dear God.
But, oh, my God, he was brutal.
Dear God.
He moved on from there to realizing, because of his work with Jean-Martin Charcot, that hysterical women, women who were really hysterical, not lesbian women, but women who were genuinely hysterical, often had traumatic childhood sexual experiences. They had been raped by friends, by family members, or
right.
by fathers.
Right.
And so that's where he got his start. But then as he started to build his career, he came up with ideas about lesbianism that were really rancid. He said that only men are inherently moral because they have penises. And so they acquire their morality.
Yes, I think that's been proven over and over again. Right.
They acquire their morality through the castration complex. They're afraid that their fathers
right.
will go beyond spanking them and will chop off their penis.
Oh, what a bunch of bunk.
But women can't be moral unless they have an association with men.
I had not. Now, you're a science journalist, and I had not heard this until I read your stuff, that Freud obviously believed homosexuality could be cured by psychoanalysis, and when he realized his 23-year-old daughter, Anna, was enjoying romantic, serially monogamous friendships with women, he analyzed her probably for 1,000 clinical hours. They discussed mostly her masturbation fantasies. Who doesn't think that's a party with their dad?
Exactly.
Anna went on to become a psychoanalyst herself, right? Both she and Sigmund Freud wrote about these analytic sessions, but you have to get us to the punchline about Anna.
Well, the punchline about Anna is that even though she went through 1,000 clinical hours with the originator of gay conversion therapy, she went on to live for 54 years in a monogamous relationship with Dorothy Burlingham, who was heir to the Tiffany fortune. They raised a family together, and they started a war orphanage together during World War II, just outside of London, where they took in over 100 young people and protected them emotionally and physically
wow.
from war. So,
she
grew to be a magnificent woman.
I was going to say, so a horrible, meaningless life, obviously.
Exactly. Having removed herself from guidance from a husband, she, you know, became a degenerate and did nothing.
Wow. I mean, that is, and I had never heard that. And you know, right here, had Sigmund lived till the war's end, he might have acknowledged that conversion therapy is misguided. Yeah, obviously didn't take on his own daughter, right?
Right, obviously. The best psychoanalyst in the world, the originator of gay conversion therapy, 1,000 clinical hours, and nada.
Yeah,
She went on to live her life fully and strongly, though she did hide her homosexuality. She and Dorothy Burlingham never called themselves lovers because it would have ruined them professionally. Mm-hmm. They were in a prolonged battle for custody of Dorothy's children with her husband.
Listen,
they would have lost that battle.
Different day, though, and you've given me hope that I could marry an heir to the Tiffany fortune. there's got to be another one. But, you know, it's interesting. I am reading here, you know, this, of course, they also call Pray Away the Gay, has been condemned by every serious medical, mental health, and psychiatric organization in the U.S. and abroad. And I'm reading the Texas GOP platform, and they say the end of it is, we support the definition of marriage as a God-ordained legal and moral commitment only between a natural man and a natural woman. I'm like, who are they talking about? Carole King? What does that mean, even?
Right. Well, they had originally intended, I think, to take out that sort of hate speech and replace it merely with a protection for gay conversion therapy, because gay conversion therapy has now been outlawed in California and New Jersey. Mm-hmm. You can't practice it on minors.
Well, because it is. It has tragic consequences. It's been well documented that a lot of kids have committed suicide.
Right,
went
but
through
there's
this
a growing movement to protect kids from it. New York and the District of Columbia are considering measures, and so the Texas GOP is very worried about that, and they want to protect it from, you know, all claims.
Well, anyway, you great stuff, and we're so happy to have you on. I had never heard that story about Sigmund Freud's daughter. It is fascinating. Rebecca, come on with us anytime, okay?
Okay. Can I just mention the name of my book?
Yes.
Sure.
It's called Hysterical, Anna Freud's Story, and it's the fact-based fictional autobiography of Sigmund Freud's smartest daughter.
Fascinating.
All right.
Fascinating. We'll put a link to it up at StephanieMiller.com.
We already have one.
All right. All right.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Rebecca. Appreciate
Thank you, Stephanie.
It. All right. There she goes.
Wow.
Fascinating. Oh, you know, any other Tiffany heirs out there? Hot Tiffany heirs? Hello. Put a ring on it. Okay.
Oh, my God.
What? That's a beautiful love story. All right. A couple more folks want to get in on Eric Cantor here. Tom in Pennsylvania. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I think that we shouldn't downplay the effect on the differences that the two candidates had on illegal immigration and what their suggestions for the solution should be. because even though the polls showed that immigration was maybe only, what, 3 or 4% of the person's most, people's most important issue,
right.
immigration
right.
affects, it affects the economy, it affects health care, it affects education system, it affects the amount of money that actually recycles into communities, and it lowers, and it affects wages. I mean, and I think there's a growing frustration in this country that, that both sides are not really interested in what's best for the American worker. They're just trying to...
Well, I disagree with you. They that district in Virginia voted for the candidate that is more out of step with what I think it's 70% of the American people I saw in the latest poll are for, which is comprehensive immigration reform. I heard a couple of the hosts on... You know, the right-wing station here that's sort of famous for being, you know, anti, and they finally just said, two different hosts and two different day parts said, I've given up on that. We've got 11 million people are not going to be sent back. We have got to have comprehensive immigration reform.
Yeah.
And that's on the right-wing station. They're like, look, that ship has sailed.
That's on the right-wing station here in Los Angeles. We see immigration issues around us all the time. That particular district in Virginia... It's not that big a deal.
Well, good. Then go farther and farther.
Well,
tap farther
just,
and farther to the
just
right.
Just trying to give you an explanation.
I understand.
Okay.
Virginia boy. Hello, Danette in Georgia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Danette.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
You know, you are just so awesome and amazing.
Thank you.
You have Jimmy Carter on talking about how important women are and how America needs to wake up and realize that we mistreat women just as bad as people in the Middle East, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And the fact that you had Mudcat on talking about what's really going on in Virginia, because he lives there and he knows, rather than the people that are pontificating about what's happening in Virginia.
Danette, I gotta say, that was one of the things that I actually was happiest about, is like all of the polls and pundits and all that stuff was wrong, and it happens a lot, and I've said it over and over again. People get all like freaked out, and you know, how many medium, you know, mainstream media storylines have turned out to be wrong?
All of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't get all doomy gloomy over the midterms. Just get out and vote. All right. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, I like her.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Why all the long faces? I know it's disappointing that we won't have Eric Cantor to kick around anymore in the comedy world, but we'll find new comedy dinkies. Everybody look alive!
Oh, he'll still be a lobbyist. He'll pop up every once in a while.
Oh, God, can you imagine? Eric Cantor's on the phone. People, how many congressmen are going to skedaddle? I never want to talk to that smarmy, condescending twerp again. Eric Cantor for you online. Hi. Calling from Montauk. Okay, so speaking of comedy binkies, Jim Ward on his way in. Carlos Alzraki on his way in. Robin says, Steph, Mook, large dog you can ride. Want to thank you for all the great years of entertainment. You're welcome. So much so I pledged $250.
Oh, crap.
I can selfishly enjoy you on Free Speech TV. You are selfish. Give more. I admit I was a small business owner, and I did come across your show by accident.
Oh.
You and your many smart, talented sidekicks filled the void like you. I'm an over 50 childless loser. I enjoy your slightly outdated bumper music. It reminds me to swivel my brittle hips at a regular interval so they don't lock up at the end of a long day. See?
Right.
We're helping the elders. Like many of your devoted fans, I'm grateful for the chance to laugh instead of cry, to share in a community who hope that knowing just how bad it's gotten can help us all to change it and be happy-clappy when we are at the mercy of a turtle and the angriest dog in the world. She refers to John McCain. All right. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Bill in Los Angeles on Bitchface. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, you guys. I wanted to thank you for the strong work that you did.
Thank you.
Get Eric Cantor out of there. But you did the work 2 years ago, helping Wayne Powell.
Oh,
that's right.
And having Mudcat on every so often.
Right.
Wayne overperformed in the eyes of the DNC. He didn't get any help from the DCCC, no help from the party, but he got into the 40s on Cantor.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cantor had to change his behavior. And that opened up the right wing. The guy attacked Cantor from the right. So I wanted to also explain something that's going on. None of the media is getting this right about why Cantor lost.
Okay.
In Virginia, there's open primaries.
Right.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Well, this usually happens. The Democrats get it done to them by the Republicans. The Democratic candidate was chosen by committee. That freed up all the Democrats in the district to be able to vote against Cantor for Brett. So
right.
An influx of Democrats came in and voted for Brett. The margin is all Democratic votes.
Yeah, well, that's really what, Mudcat said that. That could be true. And, I think I'm excited about it. Just because I also credit Jim Ward's impression. For people realizing what a smarmy ass bite Eric Cantor was. All right, we were talking about the shootings. President Obama, he just said some dead on stuff because you could tell he's as frustrated as the rest of us. He said, our level of gun violence are off the charts. There's no advanced developed country on earth that would put up with this. President Obama talking about that yesterday.
We're the only society, we're the only developed country on earth where this happens. And it happens now once a week. And it's a one-day story. There's no place else like this.
Yeah, he said the country should be ashamed. He called on the failure to pass new laws the biggest frustration of his presidency. He said the fact that 26-year-olds were gunned down in the most violent fashion possible and this town couldn't do anything about it was stunning to me. He talked about Australia, which we talk about a lot. Their enactment of gun control laws after a single mass shooting. And the drop in gun violence that followed. And then he also rejected arguments that the root cause of violence is mental health, saying the U.S. does not have a monopoly on crazy people.
Now, we have a different tradition. We have a Second Amendment. We have historically respected gun rights. I respect gun rights. But the idea that, for example, we couldn't even get a background check bill in, it makes no sense.
Yeah. He said it's not the only country that has psychosis, and yet we kill each other in these mass shootings at rates that are exponentially higher than any place else. What's the difference? The difference is these guys can stack up a bunch of ammunition in their houses. He called again for measures like the expansion of the background check, which he just mentioned. Yet he lamented the reality. The votes for it in Congress are not there. He blamed the lack of votes on members of both parties being terrified of the NRA. To change gun laws, he said a fundamental shift in public opinion would need to occur, one in which Americans vote out their members of Congress because of opposition to gun control laws. This country has got to do a lot of soul searching. This is becoming the norm, and we take it for granted in ways that, as a parent, are terrifying to me. Thank you, Mr. President. All right, we need details on the latest one in Portland, Oregon. As we continue, 29 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Is 60.
No, that's ridiculous.
Think about it. She can't rap.
She falls asleep in chairs. She doesn't know how to use a computer. She's always mad at the TV.
Stephanie Miller.
She might be 70.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Jim Ward on his way in. Carlos Al's Rocky, sexy liberal extraordinaire on his way in. We were talking about the latest, and this is how bad it's gotten. You're like, which day, which shooting, which time of the day? Was it the mass shooting this morning or this afternoon? This, of course, at a school in Portland, Oregon. The police chief there.
We have tentatively identified the shooter, but we're not confident enough at this point to reveal the details. I can tell you that the weapon that was used is a rifle.
Well, since then, they released that the shooter was a student and the victim was a 14-year-old freshman.
Student, yeah. Here's a bunch of students.
There was two shots after we were all meeting in the gym. He had no mask on, and just see the side of his face. And
did you see him carrying a gun? How do you know which one of them?
He was carrying a gun running after one of our teachers.
We just saw people running everywhere, like people screaming. We didn't know what was going on.
and we just all went to the back of the classroom. We were all scared.
Since the 2012 shooting at Sandy Hook, we mentioned this yesterday, there have been an average of 1.37 school shootings for each school week. That's including Tuesday's incident in Oregon. 74 school shootings have taken place in the approximately 18 months since Newtown. I love this part. Not surprisingly, schools tend to be safer when they're not in session. So there's a good, there you go. That's how we can solve that. Let's just
cancel school.
Right, right, right.
School's out for summer.
Right,
school's
forever.
Out forever.
School's out forever if the Republicans have their way, because they don't like the public schools anyway. So there you go. There's a good way to cut down on school shootings. Just no more school.
No more teachers' dirty looks.
Right. No more. We don't need your thought control.
Wow. Oh. We just kind of mashed like three different songs there. All right.
Cartoon canaries are back. Whee! Scott in Iowa.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi.
Yeah, comment and a question about Eric Cantor.
Yes.
Here's my comment. We've seen it for so many elections that people say, why the hell should I vote? The incumbent's going to keep winning time after time.
Right, with all the money. He had all the money, right? And you think, oh, no, there's no way. And everybody was wrong, right?
And here's my question. With what happened yesterday in the primary, he got the incumbent got beat. Can this get people off their derrieres to say, you know what, if I vote, I can make a difference finally?
Yes, we can. That's right. Thank you. Thank you very much. By the by, I just wanted to mention Stephen Colbert on Monday. I thought was hilarious, talking about Bo Bergdahl. Saved his most biting critique for Fox News. Not only did Bergdahl study ballet in his teens, a fact explored in depth on Fox News last week, Colbert noted, but he also, quote, pursued a lifestyle that 99% of Americans cannot relate to, volunteering to fight in Afghanistan. The point is, everything about Bergdahl is an affront to the heroes who serve on the front lines of Fox News. Thank you. Disgraceful.
That's right.
This is the kind of thing, though, you know, you saw that picture of the president talking about school shootings, and this is the kind of thing that you can imagine, because of the Fox News and the right-wing radio noise machine, this is why I don't trust any of this polling. Forget about what happened yesterday in Virginia. We talked about this yesterday, I think, with Bollert a little bit, Monday with Bollert. The public has a more negative than positive view of the prisoner exchange that freed U.S. soldier Bo Bergdahl, but most think the U.S. has a responsibility to do all it can to free a captive U.S. soldier in general, regardless of the circumstances of their capture. Again, this is because of all the noise that people think there's two sides to this.
Yeah.
And now what? There's Chuck Hagel's going before a committee today.
Yep.
To explain himself, right?
Yep.
As to why a commander-in-chief would rescue an American serviceman. More of the details of this, you mentioned this yesterday. What Dick Durbin was talking about, they only finalized the exchange of the last remaining U.S. prisoner of war in Afghanistan a day before the swap. They didn't learn the pickup location until an hour ahead of time. Dick Durbin said, are we saying that once we decided to do the prisoner transfer, we had to notify Congress and wait 30 days? The president couldn't do that. It was impossible. It could have endangered the man's life by waiting 30 days. The law on notification doesn't square with reality. And by the way, on cue, Saxby Chambliss, some members of Congress have suggested they would have not have remained silent. This is exactly the reason. He said the top Republican on the Senate Intelligence Committee, Saxby Chambliss, Republican of Georgia, said last week he would have publicly raised holy hell over swapping the Taliban leaders.
Right. That's exactly
Bergdahl
why.
And then Bergdahl gotten killed.
Oh, my.
And then they would have gone, look what the black guy did again. Now look what he screwed up. I mean, this is just, it's unconscionable. Boner hammered the White House over the prisoner swap that freed Bo Bergdahl. Of course he did.
Yeah.
So the biggest issue here is a violation of policy. The United States has had for many years that we don't, a violation of a policy we had for many years, we don't negotiate with terrorists. He knows that we've been negotiating with the Taliban for years because that's the other side in the war on Afghanistan. So this is just so disingenuous. The fact that we've violated that policy and as a result we've made Americans less safe here and all around the world. Oh, please, stuff an orange sock in it. We're going to pay for this. There's not any doubt in my mind there's going to be cost lives, lost lives associated with what came out of this.
Yeah.
He also took issue with the White House's explanation that it had not warned Congress soon enough for fear that a leak could have led to Bergdahl's killing. And there on cue is Saxby Chambliss saying, oh, yeah, I would have gone on CNN and opened my giant blowhole. It's like, that's exactly why. Sorry. Okay, I'm in a state.
Do you need an aspirin?
Kevin and I need more than that. Kevin in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi. Look, I worked with several Tea Parties, actually organizing city Tea Parties, and I wanted to say that I started with Occupy, and the end game for Occupy was something I just couldn't handle. You know, I don't believe big government is, I think it's diametrically opposed to liberty. And I think that the idea that we are taking out the incumbents is the root value of that Tea Party movement, is to get rid of the establishment. And there's a very anti-corporatist element to the Tea Party that I think is not explored, because you see these big rallies with Michelle Bachmann and other people like that, and people assume that's what their Tea Party is.
Kevin, that's how the Tea Party got its start, but then it was co-opted by the social right. And now it's just this anti-gay, anti-everything.
Right, now it's become a tool to just push Republicans farther to the right. And I agree with you that some of the original goals were the same as...
They were noble.
There's ways that Occupy and Tea Party meet, right, in terms of... that's what I mean. It's been co-opted by the Koch brothers and others to try to just,
push through these socially just completely far-right ideas.
Yes.
Oy.
Exactly. Oh, like lack of regulation. Huh.
Yeah.
Did you see this? 2 days after the tractor-trailer crashed into Tracy Morgan's limousine, killing a passenger, road safety advocates hammered Senator Susan Collins and other lawmakers for efforts to peel back recent reforms aimed at curbing trucker fatigue. This is how politics works. Mm-hmm. Now, the head of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said she was extremely disturbed by the amendment Collins attached to a funding bill last week. This would suspend mandatory rest requirements imposed on truckers last year. She said this is a major moment, really, to stop the trucking industry from using its major clout. It seems no matter what we do in terms of pushing to get safer trucks on the road, the trucking industry uses its clout to undo those improvements or stop anyone's mm-hmm. push. We are vehemently opposing the Collins amendment. Esmeralda might have to make that disappear.
Because she sounds like Esmeralda.
Right. Prosecutors accused, of course, the driver in the Tracy Morgan crash of not sleeping in more than 24 hours. And,
why are truckers allowed on the road if they haven't slept in 24 hours?
Republicans just want no regulation on any big companies of any kind. I mean, like, that's not basic common sense.
Right. That's not the kind of country that the rest of us want. So libertarians can go move to Somalia.
Right. Steve in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
Hello.
Question. What are chances that once Eric Cantor, stops crying in his chaise lounge, he might throw the Senate immigration bill on the floor just out of spite?
Eric Cantor now?
Yeah, I don't think Boehner would allow...
He wants to make money as a lobbyist.
I don't think Boehner would allow that.
And now, by the way, it's going to make Boehner go even farther to the right as well, because now he's a skeert about what happened to his little buddy. Hi, Darren in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Hey, how you been?
Good, go ahead.
Hey. First of all, I got some personal breaking news. Thank you. You wouldn't remember this, but one time when I called you, back in the fall, I told you I was actually calling you from my hospital bed because I was in pretty rough shape. I had a really bad infection, and it actually turned out I had kidney issues. And
I do remember you. Yeah.
Yeah, hey, Chris.
Hey,
yeah,
Darren.
Yeah, sent you some messages on Facebook, too, man. Yeah, I check in. I've been on dialysis since then, too.
Oh, wow.
And, I'm looking for a kidney and all that stuff. Uh-oh. Well, I was just told yesterday that...
Hey, and the show needs money, huh?
Yeah.
Nathan, our new videographer, looks pretty dumb.
I might have to have you duped. I might have to have you do a sexy liberal show and have the money go towards my kidney fund.
All right.
There you go.
All right. Listen, I'm not above stealing a kidney from someone. Sometimes brand new videographers wake up in an ice tub full of bathtub full of ice, missing a kidney.
You can always get another videographer.
That's right.
So anyway,
he can work without a kidney.
Exactly. He has two. He only needs one. Okay. But the news I got yesterday is that while it's not definite, not 100%, but there's a pretty good chance I might not need dialysis anymore.
Oh, honey, that's awesome.
Congratulations.
Thanks. I mean, it doesn't mean I won't need it later, and I'm still going to try to get on the donor list. But man, I was crying like a baby yesterday when they called me, because I really thought this was the rest of my life.
Congrats!
I'm so happy to. Thank you. Thank
congrats.
You. I'm happy to share that.
What did you? Yeah, and what did you want to say about Cantor?
Oh, well, what I wanted to say was, you know, and look, obviously I'm happy that he lost and everything, although this is act, and this, and you're right, this is going to be a big uphill climb for Trammell. Is that the guy's name, the Democrat?
Yeah.
And I think the Democrats need to drop some money and get the word out and spend the money. And while turnout is, of course, vitally important for the Democrats, I think this race is going to be decided more based on the mainstream Republicans and what they're going to do.
Right.
You know, are they gonna back this guy, this Tea Party guy? I mean, are they really gonna, you know, look into their soul and say, hey, you know, I really just can't go there?
Yeah.
Or, you know, the race could be decided with them staying home, you know? I don't know how many of them would actually vote for the Democrat unless the Trammell comes out like a blue dog. I think that's gonna be the only way he actually gets their vote.
Yeah, well, yeah. But, you know, interesting, I'm reading a HuffPost piece, and they're, you know, they're saying bad news for the GOP. So I think everybody's got an opinion. We'll have to see how it plays out. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, I like it. I like it a lot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. Why, look who's here early.
That's good coffee.
I take it black, like my man.
Coffee with Carlos El Rocky.
I have a Zimbabwe latte.
I'll have a Kenya cappuccino.
She never has a second cup of coffee at home.
Mountain-grown coffee.
Carlos El Rocky.
I was going to make espresso.
And baked by Juan Valdez.
Coffee with Carlos.
Good to the last drop.
The elegance of coffee versus the caffeine I take. This tattered, ripped-up Kirkland bottle of 5-Hour Energy. Did you ever know that you're my hero?
I love that it's off-brand 5-Hour Energy.
It is. There's like a river behind my property. I just scoop it up, this used bottle. I can just keep recycling it. This caffeine does not have the eloquence of free Wi-Fi
right.
And coffee shops.
Kirkland is a Costco brand. How many of those do you have to buy at a time?
It's 17, I think. It equals one 5-Hour Energy. This is a minute and 37 second energy, so you have to drink a lot
of
it.
Gotcha.
And I just traveled with him back and forth to Minneapolis, where we continued to do skits, even when we were not on stage.
We were doing sketches.
Yeah, you were like, I hope that sriracha sauce.
Oh, God, too much sriracha sauce.
It's going to be a long flight.
Sriracha. Can I have my own row?
Right, and then we were both in middle seats. And so I was getting him ready for his reentry into Vagina Island, and I just kept going, Dada!
Kicking my
Dada!
Seat. Oh, my God. Can I tell you my wife hated my new joke, which was I just missed Riley's dance recital. I go, it's okay. Now I don't have to lie to her and say she was good. She was not a fan of that joke.
I liked it. Yeah. Here's what happened. So then we were both in middle seats, but then a back row opened up.
Okay.
So yeah. I went back there, and then I told Carlos about it. And so people didn't know that we knew each other, but then he just, like, walked Loud over it. Me and
Excuse
hit
me
in the head with his bag.
Sorry.
Is this, yeah. Is this part taken? Is this...
Get up. Sorry, late. Pod me. Excuse
me. And people looked on in horror, and then
then
they started laughing when they realized that we were friends.
Then it was...
And we were like, there's no charge for that little skit, that little Carbonette skit we just did.
If you'd like, we can get on the microphones and do our sketch, our show from last night. The exit wings are over here, and...
Love letter for Carlos first thing. Right? Robin, he supplied all the food backstage. Steph,
oh, yeah, she was awesome.
Just can't stop thinking about how great the show in Minneapolis was. Really, you guys are an amazing assemblage of talent, intelligence, compassion, and effing funny. Too much sexy for one stage, right?
Really?
Whoa.
Too much.
Minnesota loves you. I hope you don't mind us hanging out and geeking out. No, not at all. We just want you to know how much you mean to us all with cheese. They did say it with cheese, and it was good,
with
right?
cheese.
Good luck with Free Speech TV and all you do. Robin.
Oh, thank you, Robin.
Robin.
I want to go back and go on one of those rolling pubs where people pedal the thing really fast.
I love Minneapolis.
It's a really
cool place. It really is.
They're Minnesota nice.
They're
Canadian light.
Yep.
Exactly. So you're here in time to say bye-bye, bitch face, to Eric Cantor and to the Latino vote Republicans for, I don't know, I'd say quite some time.
I was about to say si se puede. I know Jim does this for us better than I do, but... No se puede anymore.
I got
they say it was about immigration. That this guy is a, you know, because he sounded vaguely.
I think the guy, the like immigrants he wanted to keep out were the Swedes, the English, the Irish, and the Russians. I'm pretty sure it was those immigrants that
of
he's
course.
Worried about.
Of course. Yeah, they're saying, right, that it hinged mostly on, and I'm saying that puts him out of step with, you know, this new, whoever the guy is that won. What's his name again? Brat.
Brat. Hey, have a Brat. Hey, Virginia, have a Brat. Not to mention the one Democratic Congressman Puckett who was bought off. Yeah, maybe your daughter doesn't get to be a judge. It'd be a shame. Too bad.
Oh, wait, talk about what this is about. I don't
know. It's Virginia politics.
Which one?
Puckett.
Yes, wait, where is this?
Is that the Democrat?
I have it.
Be a shame if you left the house, you know, and threw off the balance.
Yeah, I don't know much about him. What happened
with
him?
This is how badly they're trying to defeat the Affordable Care Act, right? In order to stop the Medicaid expansion, they offered this guy's daughter a job to get him out, to get the Democrat to quit.
Oh, that guy, yes.
Yeah, Georgia, okay. And him a job, which a day later he said, yeah, you know what, I'm not going to take it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I never was really going for that job anyways.
Yeah, this was the story. GOP straight up bribes Democratic senator in effort to block Obamacare, in effort to stop, you know, low-income people from maybe getting any access to
but healthcare. But he did cite family problems, and perhaps now that I have some extra time, I can help his family.
That's more of an allegory.
Yeah, the
Let's
Republican Party in Virginia, that's what he's talking about, was trying to bribe this guy to
trying
quit
to
so they could block the expansion of Medicaid. I mean, just
evil.
Yes, yes, exactly.
We will not support Obama by any means necessary.
As many as 20,000 of Puckett's Southwest Virginia constituents could be eligible for the Medicaid expansion. And it has long since stopped making sense.
What was it, McDonald who took all those gifts? Mm-hmm. Right, it's just Virginia politics. It's Virginia
they're
politics.
They're bribey down there.
They're kind of bribey. Yeah.
Bribey and bribey.
We like black people on the football field, but not in the White House. Come on now. Know your place. Know your place.
Oh, hey, speaking of which, our good friend Donald Sterling has some further thoughts.
What happened to me?
Ah, yay! The Donald Sterling impression.
Donald Sterling
pretty close to popcorn here, Twilight. Pretty close.
Donald Sterling wraps himself in an American flag, declares the NBA is trying to deny his rights. NBA is the man keeping him down, you see?
I was very similar to Tommy Smith and John Carlos in 68 I was giving a black power salute, draping myself in the flag, and they want to keep me from the lunch counter now.
So after agreeing to sell the Clippers for $2 billion and then deciding to go back on his word and resume his fight against the NBA, he decided to send out this press release, championing himself as an American hero of sorts.
I had one of those darkies type it for me.
Oh, my God.
What did I say? Their skin is dark. Mine is light. I'm a lighty, they're a darkie.
It is entitled, Why I'm Fighting the NBA. The NBA wants to take away your privacy rights and freedom of speech. Not ours, Kimosabi. I was brought up in an America educated to believe that every citizen has a right to privacy and a right to the freedom of speech. As a lawyer and a citizen, I'm shocked that the NBA wants to take away those fundamental rights. We have to fight for the rights of all Americans. We have to fight these despicable monsters. This is the reason I will not sell my team. Oh, that is spectacular.
Despicable
monsters that are trying to make me take $2 billion.
Just because I own a McDonald's and I yelled out meat is murder inside my restaurant, that's no reason to fire me. I mean, come on.
By the way, as someone pointed out here, junior high civics class, this is not a free speech issue.
No.
Donald Sterling's right to free speech has never been taken away. It's never been challenged. He has a constitutional right to say whatever he wants, whenever he wants, without the U.S. government attempting to penalize him if he decides to whatever he decides to expound upon. What he's not allowed to do is cost the NBA private league money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a free speech issue. He's a member of a 30-team private league, one that has a legal right to oust him and force him to sell because he's become a weak link in spite of the $2 billion asking price.
Listen, as I said, my treat, gospel brunch, House of Blues. Come on, come on. My treat.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right, now the party started. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Yes. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Look who's chief petty officer is here. All rise, Jim Ward is here, along with sexy liberal Carlos Salazar.
We're like
it's
dog
the Fred show.
Yeah. They're like dog nip. They're like, like Salt Lick.
The petty man is here.
There was an explosion, Jim, in the Twitterverse that would like you to say goodbye-bye to Bitchface, Eric Cantor.
Well, in a way, I'm relieved. Because I can finally get away from that slattern of a wife who's kept me down. I plan to go to Italy and visit the sweatshops where young boys with their delicate little hands stitch my handmade Italian leather loafers. And then I can lure them with promises of candy and Roman bathhouses.
And World Cup ticket.
Wow.
Time to unshutter.
That is an Al Gore.
Time to unshutter the Montauk house. Bye-bye now. Thanks for the memories, though. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for the douchiness of losing that last race. They put you in your place. You'll have to go to Montauk and put on your best bitch face. How schmucky, I want to tell you, you were.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
RMM, nice guy.
Thanks for the memory.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that was a big shock, Jim, a big shock.
Big shock.
Eric Cantor, Bitchface Tumblr, going insane this morning.
Yes, they hadn't posted anything new in like 9 months. They put up 3 new things this morning.
Wow, because that was not big money politics. That was like a very small grassroots campaign, right?
Well, way outspent this guy, the challenger.
Well, that's what was the woman, the CEO of Hewlett Packard or whatever that lost here for the governorship. She spent a lot
Meg,
of
money. Meg Whitman.
By
Meg
the
Whitman
way,
was out, was
Jim,
out
you know who Mudcat Saunders said helped Wayne Powell raise so much money and almost beat Eric Cantor last time?
Stephanie Miller.
And the Mokes.
Huh.
That's right.
He just said that on the air this morning. And I was reading one analysis. This is why people need to... Wake up, people!
Wake up.
Conservative pundits with a wide following on the right, such as Ann Coulter and Mark Levin... And Laura Ingraham,
ultra-right-wing and sarcastic,
began a vocal campaign to pound Cantor on the issue of immigration, suggesting that he supported amnesty for undocumented immigrants, and Ingraham even traveled to Richmond to campaign for
Who wants to pound me? Sorry, what? Did I miss something?
Just
it's colder, boo.
People better wake up, support progressive radio, because we have the power. They're saying that's what they were saying on TV last night, that a lot of these right-wing radio hosts helped swing this race to the Tea Party guys.
Sí.
If we could just acknowledge that corporations hire illegal aliens, that we could go after the corporate... No, that's not our strategy. Why go after the people that hire them? We
don't
need to go after the people that...
Don't you think they're saying adios to the Latino vote forever with this latest?
No, I think it's the Swedes and the English and the Irish. I think it's those immigrants that are really causing the problem.
We're just trying to force you into doing a racist stereotype.
No, I will not parar bailar la bamba for Jews. Leave me alone.
What was that you did? Minneapolis sexy liberal. He pretended somebody spilled something on the stage. He's like, I will clean up for
it's
you.
Okay, I clean for you. I'm a cleaner. That is the beauty of my act. If I spill, I clean myself.
It's a good thing Richie Valens wasn't with the Planes and Airplanes. Planes, the movie.
That's
the
right. Planes. Or Big Bopper or Buddy Holly. Buddy Holly Plane.
Oh God! Oh.
By the way, Jim, you missed. You
too
know
too soon.
Oh wait, fire rescue.
That'll be the day. Hey, hey, I didn't mean it. Seriously. What?
Sorry. You know who the biggest oppressed minority in America is today? Donald Sterling. Who wrote it?
Well, there's only one of them.
The NBA is the man keeping him down, and he is a fine American whose rights are being taken away.
Right.
It's like the slaves are taking over the big house. Like they say, the inmates are taking over the asylum. It's
they're moving on. They're moving on up to the big.
I love that. I feed them. I clothe them.
Who's going to build those pyramids for me?
I sing lullabies to them at night, and this is how they treat me.
Who's going to build those pyramids for me?
Oh. Yeah.
That is
awful.
I'm
gonna solve my Rubik's cubes.
All right, I know Riley's watching, so we probably should.
Hi, Riley.
Hi.
Hi.
So you're not gonna say something dirty now, are you?
No.
Well, I probably shouldn't do the story about the dolphin sex, but I'm sorry.
Look
Riley.
Away. Look away.
Look away.
Look away. Look away.
Right. That's look away. Daddy says look away, Riley.
Yep.
Yeah, draw her in by making dolphin sounds. Yeah. Good job, Steph.
The kids love this.
Well, then don't do it.
Carly, go away. Go away. Okay. This is just... Gawker brings us... I just had to... This woman had precious, gentle sex with a dolphin, and she liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Animal researcher. That's what the kids are calling
sure.
it.
Sure.
Through the blowhole?
Pardon me?
No.
No. Margaret Howe Lovett studied dolphins.
I bet she loves it.
Studied.
And how?
Dolphins near the U.S. Virgin Islands. Well, they weren't virgin anymore.
There are a lot of virgins there.
I had a feeling we were all going to collide. Well, that's these
you were approached by a Seattle school teacher?
In the 60s. Who didn't? A dolphin in the 60s in the Virgin Islands.
Jane
I mean,
Goodall
on.
And her monkeys.
That's a... What are you suggesting?
Mm-hmm.
Could I have some love music? Carlos once again needs to take something beautiful
and turn it into a
dirty.
Crap fest.
That's an unusual screaming from the chimps. The mountain gorillas in the mist.
Okay. I find it somewhat arousing.
Was that your Jane Goodall impression?
My Jane Badall impression.
How great are the Great Apes?
Coco is hand signaling that he would like a cigarette post-coital.
Margaret happened upon a pubescent male named Peter.
Of course.
This is back in the Virgin Islands in the 60s. And one thing led to another, as it does
sure.
with dolphins. It's on the upcoming BBC documentary, The Girl Who Talked to Dolphins.
Well, did more talk.
A lot more than that.
Mm-hmm. She says, in the beginning, when he would get rambunctious and had this need, I would put him on the elevator and say, you go play with the girls for a day. In the end, it was just easier to incorporate dolphin jobs, you know, hand.
Wow. Yeah.
And let it happen. It was very precious. It was very gentle. Again, it was sexual on his part. It was not sexual on mine.
Right.
So it's not like she's
sure.
weird or
right.
anything, Chris. Don't look at me
like
that.
Like a horse.
So nothing was penetrated or anything.
No, it was
okay.
a hand.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Animal husbandry does that.
Sensuous,
yeah.
perhaps. It would just become part of what was going on, like an itch. Just
wow.
get rid of that. Scratch it and we'll be done. Move on. And that's really all it was. I was there to get to know Peter. That was part of Peter.
Peter.
And somehow she can't find a man.
Jim yes. and I are going to take a break with Max and
Peter's
Fred.
Peter was definitely part of Peter.
Jim and I are going to take a break with Max and Fred right now. We'll be gentle.
No!
Sexual. It's not sexual.
There are no girl dogs.
The Girl Who Talked to Dolphins will premiere on UK's BBC4 on June 17th. Gawker says, I'm going to watch the out of that.
The girl who talked dirty to dolphins.
Wow.
You want
what's that, Peter?
Flipper.
Flipper? I just met her.
Flip your flapper. What did that dolphin orgasm sound like?
Riley's going to ask for a fuller explanation of that whole thing later.
Daddy, what was
she ain't
the
watching.
Story?
You better not be watching. You better,
not.
How can you say this with your kids watching? It's disgusting.
But there was no penetration.
Riley? A little bit.
Dueling bit. Robert De Niro's tell you to stop watching.
How dueling
hey,
dolphins?
Stop watching the TV. Now.
You want a TV in your face? I'll give you a TV in your face. Sit closer.
And live in that's color.
Right. That's right.
Because she'd like to grow up to have enthusiasms. I'm best.
Enthusiasms. Enthusiasms.
No, you're too enthusiastic.
Not the dolphins.
Enthusiasms.
Don't be enthusiastic about dolphins.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. This TV's going to go into your face on porpoise. How about that?
Porpoise.
How about that for a pun?
In the meantime.
How about that for a pun?
In the meantime,
then
shut your blowhole.
Puns.
And I'm not thin-ished.
There you go. Oh,
Stephanie in Illinois.
Stop.
Stephanie in Illinois, please help me. Help me.
Yeah.
Hello,
I'll rock your Sea World.
Stephanie in Illinois. Hello. Hello. Oh, she scared her off. She was too intimidated.
She loves
Chris
the
in Georgia.
Sex.
Chris in Georgia. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how you doing today, Steph?
Good.
All right. I'm a professional truck driver, and I got a comment on what you guys are saying about what's happened up in Jersey.
Yeah.
If this guy was awake for 24 hours, it was before he came to work. It has nothing to do with the hours of service logs. Walmart guys are regulated. We all have to take a 34-hour restart once every 7 days, and we're mandated to sleep at least 10 hours a day. So if this guy was up 24 hours, it's because his personal choice. He was up before he showed to work.
Well, why do you think he's being charged then?
Because he admitted that he didn't sleep for 24 hours.
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
There's no way that his employer would allow him to go to work if they knew. It just won't happen.
Yeah.
They're on electronic logbook. They got to log when they start, when they stop. I mean, their whole day is regulated, and they've got a dispatcher that monitors that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was lying on his book
And now he's complaining to the media that social media has killed his career. Because if he hadn't crashed into someone famous, he said, I would have just gotten a ticket. But now social media has killed my career.
Right. If you hit someone, just don't hit someone famous. That's the rule.
Right.
Yeah.
If I just hit some nobody, it'd be fine.
Right.
That's Stevie.
Why did I have to shoot at the president of the United States? Why didn't I shoot at the vice president? Damn it.
Oh, God.
You need to get some
Oswald.
Sleep. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. More mad with
censor
with
me later.
Madness
I got some good stuff
moves.
Coming.
Oh, boy. Right.
If only Mark David Chapman had shot Phil.
All
the
right.
Blank.
Stop it. Okay.
Pete Best.
Carlos Alzraki. Jim Ward. Trouble ahead on the
trouble,
Stephanie Miller Show.
Trouble.
More than our share of the nattering nabobs of negativism.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
That's what Carlos used to do, but now that he has niñas,
I no longer salto the aerolíneas.
Avión.
Avión. No, I used to jump out. I jumped out of a jet.
That's right. I remember that.
I used to be a skydiver.
Yeah.
Out of a jet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm all for truckers, but didn't we used to have a lot of railway systems that were taken out so that the trucking industry could thrive and flourish and clog up I-5 and make it impossible to drive back to San Francisco? There's way too many trucks on the road because we got rid of the railroads.
Someone's got a little bugaboo.
I drive that I-5, too, up San Francisco.
I'm scared with a big truck.
The 101 is 55 miles farther, but much more pleasant to drive on because there's fewer trucks trying to pass each other, and it takes it like 10 minutes for another truck to pass another truck, so they're just clogging up the fast lanes, and they're completely rude, and they don't care. And
we have some truckers
outside
on the
of that,
line
I'd rather truck drivers get jobs as train engineers. I'm all for switching jobs, like coal miners getting out of the coal mines and building solar power plants.
Yeah, but
look at you with all your magical solutions. Okay,
we can adapt.
Jim,
we're humans.
Trains can't go up to individual grocery stores and drop off.
But you can have satellite little smaller trucks instead of these big huge tankers, right?
Okay. Hey, Captain One Note.
That's
Jim Ward is here to celebrate the bye bye bitch face, Eric Cantor.
Bye bye bitch face.
Oh, and Rocky Mountain Mike sent a jingle. This was in response to the current TV caller who referred to Jim as that short guy because he was in a really chair.
Yes.
We represent the Stephanie Show, the Stephanie Show, the Stephanie Show, and in the name of the Stephanie Show. We wish to introduce you to Munchkin Jim.
Good morning, Munchkin Jim.
No, I have the chair is at the proper height now.
Yes, exactly.
The proper height.
Don't you think Boner is celebrating this morning?
I have several bottles of Merlot over here.
Right.
I have to go to a tavern. I went to my personal wine cellar. American wine all day long.
The American people got rid of their characters. So
American people. Mark Babel.
So he doesn't get shivved in the back by him, right? Yeah, exactly.
Oops, I slipped.
And also...
Orange is the new black.
You know what this
accidentally.
Sorry.
You know what this means, Jehovah God? This means that the rapture is near because they've gotten rid of the last Jew.
That's right.
In the Republican Party.
Oh, wow.
Bye,
in
Jew.
Congress.
See you later.
Yes.
Do you really have to be that cruel? Can't there be another Jew?
Mike Wazowski.
Walter in...
Mike, would I?
Walter in Virginia, you're on the crew.
Hey, thanks, Steph. I'll tell you, the thing that's really crazy is you know, I know Cantor wasn't great. I live here in Virginia. But, my God, it's going to replace him. He's even more of a fruitcake.
Oh, yeah, he's
which
a nut.
Is good. I mean, we have, this is the headline. We're going to get Rich Galen on tomorrow, Republican strategist.
Hopefully.
He's quoted... widely in this, Tea Party defeat of Eric Cantor spells trouble for the GOP.
Trouble, trouble, trouble.
Yeah, with screaming goats. I think they are scared, Carlos, of Hillary, because Rand Paul, I thought it was Blowgazi, Jim, that was the problem. The BJs, remember that was what he previously cited.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's back to Benghazi.
Oh, Benghazi.
Leave Ben Gazzara alone.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
Shockingly, congressional Republicans unimpressed with Hillary Clinton's primetime interview on ABC News, questioning her ability to serve as president because apparently you're only vetted by Diane Sawyer. Apparently they feel that she must just withdraw now.
So if you've ever had any kind of medical problem, you're disqualified.
Right. Rand Paul said the attacks in Benghazi demonstrate she's incapable of being commander-in-chief. He said, ultimately, that's a deal killer for her. I don't think she can win the presidency.
Yeah, like you
although
can.
Although she can beat you by 200 electoral votes, you little hobbit. She said, he said, let's see, because frankly, people want a commander-in-chief who can defend our troops and will defend our embassies.
Like Reagan.
Wow, how did Bush get in? Because there was a lot more attacks when he was president on
embassies.
And
Reagan.
Right. This wasn't a one-night thing. This was a 6-month request for security that was denied. Okay, that's complete.
That's BS.
Do we have, we have Hillary on talking about Benghazi with Diane Sawyer on ABC. That's what he was referring to.
I've obviously thought about this long and hard, and the security issues around this attack or the attacks we had when my husband was president or when President Reagan was in office, you learn from them. You can't always predict. You can't always sit in an office in Washington and say, well, we think this, this, and this will happen.
Oh, look at her pointing out history.
Right. He said this was her 3 a.m. moment, and she failed. Oh, that was clever, Rand. Because you're referring to the 3 a.m. phone call.
Because that was so successful last time.
Right.
Pulled that out of your ace.
And then they made a big deal out of her saying that they were dead broke when they left the White House. She was referring to the fact there were 12 million in debt. Mm-hmm. Remember all the endless investigations?
Sure.
She was talking about that.
We were something like $12 million in debt. And, you know, that was something that we really had to work hard. We've been blessed in the last 14 years. But I want to use the talents and resources I have to make sure other people get the same chances.
I love he said there's a lot of Americans struggling. If she wants to come to Eastern Kentucky, to my state, and talk about her personal plight as a poor spouse of the president, well, people in your state aren't doing well because you're the friggin' senator.
Right.
You're not doing anything to help the poor people in your state.
Let me drag them out of the coal mines and blow into their black lungs so I can hear you.
29 minutes after the hour. Back with extra maximum mookage today. Coffee with Carlos Alzraki, Jim Ward in the house.
Max.
In the hizzy. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, look.
Stephanie Miller.
That's so satirical. What social commentary? Well, now I'm in a wonderful humor.
He managed to pronounce the U in humor. Humor.
That's funny, New York Magazine. Eric Cantor, don't take this the wrong way, but you're a jerk and everyone hates you. A fact that keeps popping up in stories about the shocking defeat of Eric Cantor is that apparently everybody hated him.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. Cantor was never well-liked, reports John Ward, especially by conservatives who considered him a fraud. It's certainly true that conservatives detested Cantor, and not just those who clashed with him professionally. The loathing extended well into Cantor's professional network.
Everybody hates Chris Rock Cantor. That's my new sitcom idea.
That's my Al Gore. You do your Cantor.
One thing I noticed is that Cantor was very relieved. He just looked happy as a clam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But his wife wanted to strangle him.
Yeah, his wife did not look happy, particularly after the kiss. She was like, what are you? Oh,
don't touch me.
No more for you. I'm going to do it with the dolphin. Sir.
He said, why all the long faces? I know it's disappointing.
Look, obviously we came up short.
Uh-huh.
Short. It's disappointing.
Disappointing.
Sure. So I look forward to continuing to fight with all of you for the things that we believe in.
By which
for
I mean
the conservative
why?
Cause, because those definitely. Solutions of ours are the answer to the problems that so many people are facing today.
Our solutions, which I won't name because they don't exist.
You know what I credit for his defeat, Jim Ward?
Hmm.
Jim Ward's impression.
Yeah. And bitch face.
Right. The tumbler. Right, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, his wife did not look.
No.
Don't touch me.
Don't take my power.
She was like Charlize Theron in The Huntsman. Who dares to take my power? Stupid little brother.
Kathy in Nevada, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with the Mookage.
Hi, Steph. I wanted to comment on the interview Diane Sawyer gave to Hillary.
Right.
I thought she was offensive. She didn't smile. She acted like she's out to get her.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about Diane Sawyer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's what Hillary's going to be in for, but I think she's, you know, used to it.
Diane Sawyer, I never thought one way or the other about her before, but I sure don't like her now.
She used to work in the Nixon White House.
I thought maybe she'd slid into a rancid pot of tea or something.
Oh, dear. Well, you know, this is part of it, though, is I think that it's just always this, like, fear of being, you know, the liberal media that I think they go unnecessarily tough on Democrats. Yeah. I really do.
Yes, they certainly do, and I feel so sorry for Hillary. She's really going to get it, but I think she can take it.
Yeah, she's used to it.
Yeah,
it's because of the myth of the liberal media.
Right.
So now they have to pretend to be you know, to the right of Fox.
She does not ask tough questions like, which magazines do you read?
Yeah,
exactly. Stephanie in Chicago. Uh-oh, truckers, Carlos.
Yeah.
Hello, Steph.
Yeah. Hello, I got a bone to pick with your guest.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Ask him, does he know how much truck drivers make?
There is a possibility you get another job if you're not making enough.
No, listen. No.
Ask me how many truckers cut me off on I-5.
Don't cut me off, please.
Okay.
The truck drivers are the backbone of this country. They bring all the goods. Everything you have in that office on your back comes on a truck, big or little. Now, if we had nothing but rails, somebody got to go on them rails to get those goods to the stores you got to buy. My husband worked 30 years ago. The truck drivers make 2 and 8 cents an hour, a mile. Now they make 32 cents a mile. It's another corporation making slave wages, and you're telling people to get another job. If truck drivers were shut down for 2 days, this country would come to a standstill. So don't put them down. Maybe we ought to need to talk to these corporations, these truck corporations who are making billions, and tell them about paying them some decent wages. I mean, we rode from Maine all the way to Texas and made $900. Plus, truck drivers have to feed themselves. Sometimes they have to stay in hotels. And on the East Coast, you cannot idle your truck to stay in your truck to save money because they don't want you to sit in your truck and run it to keep warm. You got to go pay for a hotel. So the next time you want to jump on a truck driver, you better understand what they're going through. This don't make no sense. We jump on the people that we need the most.
Can I go now?
I want to marry you.
Can I go now?
Go ahead.
Here's all I got to say. I support your point that they're underpaid and they're overworked, which makes them more dangerous to civilians who are on I-5 because truckers will just cut you in front of you to pass another truck, which takes 10 minutes. There should be a dedicated truck-only freeway so they don't endanger civilians.
Well, then that's a
federal. Because they're tired.
That's a federal government
issue. And if we had more trains, you could still have trucks in the inner city delivering, picking up at stations, at dedicated train stations, picking up their products there and delivering them to the individual stores or warehouses. They don't need to clog up our interstate highways. That's all I'm saying. Truck within the city or suburban limits. I'm saying these more railways.
Oh, she hung up on you. She was done with you.
Yeah, more railways.
She could quit you.
And people can adapt. This is the thing about solar power and everything else. About, yes, coal is used to power electric cars. We know that. But change takes time. It takes people suffering. Sorry. You have to go through some things to make life better. And more trucks on I-5 were due to the fact that we tore up all the rail systems we used to have. And more trucks on I-5 does not make it safer for anyone. The truckers are tired, they're dangerous, and they endanger civilians. So that's an offshoot of too many trucks. And I think we need to make that change.
That was passionate. I enjoyed that exchange, both of you. Yes. Go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
Nothing else. Oh. Just bring up a shoe like Nikita Khrushchev.
Yeah. That's right.
We will bury you.
Here's how David Hasselhoff gets out of his speeding ticket. He tried to blame it on his Knight Rider car. He resorted to telling police the vehicle drove itself.
William
right.
Daniels.
Really?
Right. He said, I told him it wasn't my fault because Kit drives.
Michael.
Kit drives. Michael.
Don't you think that's a little unwise?
Really? Really? Because someone was trying to hassle Hasselhoff.
Don't Hasselhoff.
Presumably.
Don't Hasselhoff.
I'll stand on a wall in Germany and sing some songs.
I'll eat a hamburger off the floor.
That show was 30 years ago and he's still blaming stuff on that? Yeah. He's still bringing that up.
Yeah. Donald in
damn, we used the turbo boost.
Donald Michael. In Aurora.
To jump over that truck.
Lay in a hotel room and eat a hamburger drunk.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes,
hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was watching that Diane Sawyer and Hillary, and it would really even got me angry. The fact she kept insinuating about, kept pressing the issue about her age. For crying out loud, she's as old, if not older, than Hillary is.
Right.
So it's,
she was doing things in a mean-spirited way. I never seen her like that. I always used to like her too, but now I hate her guts. And you know, another thing too, she kept talking about this Benghazi thing. From what I understand too, her father was a Republican politician, so she's definitely a Republican. And why?
Well, she worked in the Nixon White House, as Chris pointed out. Yeah. I mean, who knows what her politics are now, but you know.
Yeah, but in any event, you know, why wasn't all these questions that she had to her, what about the 541 GIs that got killed over there in Beirut when Reagan was in office?
Thank
was she there to question that? How come they didn't hold his feet to the fire?
Yeah.
Well, there she goes again.
Right, because this is a whole different standard mm-hmm. now, right? I mean, it's just, of course they don't bring up stuff like that.
Yes, but in my defense, I kicked the heck out of Grenada.
Yeah, you did.
So there.
Kick some Grenada ass. Take that. Okay. Sawyer also asked Clinton what she would say to Monica Lewinsky now. Clinton said she would wish her well. I hope she's able to, you know, think about her future and construct a life that she finds meaning and satisfaction in.
Well, she covered all the Republican talking points, that's for sure. Let's see, I've got my Monica Lewinsky question.
Yeah, right.
The Benghazi question. Uh-huh. I've got the age question.
She asked her, did you call her a narcissistic Looney Tune? And Hillary said, I'm not going to comment on what I did or did not say back in the late 90s. Really? Do you, any other woman that found out her husband was getting a job... Really? You
did
can
you
like really?
Really? Say
did
that?
You say something bad about
that
her?
That was so rude.
The Republicans that would support Donald Sterling for his right to privacy, yet when
right.
Clinton had engaged in a consensual sexual act, it was suddenly everybody's business and it was impeachable. You know, you
right.
can't kick out Donald Sterling for what he said in private, but you can kick out a president for what he did in private. They would have had no problem if it was no, he's in the White House and he's getting a BG. That could compromise our security.
A BG?
A BG?
He had a BG.
Which
one?
Which
one?
Stay
in
the
line.
There he gets.
He had a BG in the
White House.
Okay.
Found that. That
might keep Hillary out of the White House.
It wasn't his wife. So don't blame it on national security. You just pissed it was his wife.
Wow.
Another thing about truckers.
Carlos breaking all sorts of news this morning.
Stay
really.
Off my I-5. It belongs to the people.
President
the
did a BG in the White House. Which one? Andy?
Benghazi.
Maurice?
Ooh,
no.
Andy Gibb. That would be...
Hello, Hack. Hack in Oklahoma.
Hey, Steph. How's it going?
Good, baby.
Blanket statements against all truckers in general are not getting us anywhere near a solution. Are there some problems? Yes.
I agree.
The airline industry... That air travel is among the most is among the safest forms of travel in the world. You never hear about the safe air miles driven. You only hear about when something bad happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Same thing with the truck. And yeah, there are legitimate concerns. There are entities that will drive a trucker or attempt to drive a trucker past his hours of service and stuff like that. But one person is not. The reason to lambaste the entire industry.
I'm not lambasting the entire industry. All I know is it's exponentially worse every year to drive from San Francisco to LA because of the sheer amount of trucks and their rudeness. It's worse. It's quantifiably worse to drive on the I-5 every year because of too many trucks, and that's a
heck,
fact.
I mean, it can be scary.
Keep in mind, 1/8 of all vehicles registered in the nation are registered in California. So, of course, you're going to have some congestion problems.
It's not a problem that needs to exist.
Well, I think also that stretch of freeway, it's only two lanes in each direction. I think it needs another lane, at least another lane.
Heck,
in that would help.
More
I don't think 5 through San Francisco is only two lanes.
Yes. From Los Angeles to San Francisco is two lanes in each direction.
And the truckers clog it up. And they take 10 minutes to pass another truck. They should be. Here's my thing. If you want to drive a truck on I-5, you should be required by law to stay in the slow lane. It's illegal for a truck to go in the left lane to pass. And if you have to get stuck behind another...
In certain stretches of California, it is illegal.
It should be all of California. At no time should a truck be able to get in the fast lane and block a civilian by going 60 miles an hour when the speed limit itself is 65 miles. They should not be able to pass.
Even if they pass someone else?
No.
There shouldn't be a split.
They should.
How about this? There should not be a split speed limit.
No. The slower traffic keep to the left, and that applies to trucks. But they don't obey that law. They disobey that law.
Hack, more importantly, are you in your truck now?
I am.
Can you please blow the horn for me?
I bought a Bluetooth.
Your what?
I can't. No, it won't carry through on the Bluetooth.
Okay. All right. Never mind. All right. But thank you anyway for calling. I appreciate it. I know. Now you're all, you know what, but he's right about the air safety, and I know, because you do not travel with Carlos Azraqui after he's had a breakfast bagel with sriracha sauce. When you want to talk about airline safety. Oh, God, that was the longest flight from Minneapolis.
We have gotten
ever.
So far afield sriracha. From the news of the day.
Oh, my God.
I know somebody's going to come to my
Everybody,
aid.
Pull it together. 46 minutes to after
well,
the
Well, I'm glad I'm out of the conversation now.
Shut up, Cantor.
I feel much better
Why
about
don't you go
that.
Get a truck driving job.
Shut up, bitch face.
Get underpaid.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller
I
show.
Won't dirty my hands with that sort of work.
Whoa! Awesome! Totally awesome! All right!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Mercy sakes alive. Looks like we've got a...
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, boy. Thanks, Carlos.
Hey, the truckers are calling in. Come on now.
Come on, good buddy.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Bar Show brought to you by Citrix. Go to meeting the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online from anywhere. Ooh, start your 30-day free trial of GoToMeeting today. GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try Free button. Use the promo code Stephanie. 51 minutes after the hour. All good, Carlos. And the entire, every truck driver in the country is calling us
That's
now.
Right.
I hope you're all happy with yourself.
I agree with Chris. There should be a dedicated truck lane. Or trains. Trains can haul, like, look, what,
I think there are solutions that don't involve having to blame truckers.
You can still truck.
Right.
Just
right.
not...
I By the way, he's going to get Randy Rhodes out of retirement because she was a long-haul trucker. She's going to be like, listen to me, you little bastard. It's 52 after, and I used to drive long-haul.
I'm getting a lot of people tweeting and writing saying, I can't believe there are only two lanes in each direction between Los Angeles and San Francisco. And yes, there are only two lanes in each direction.
That's insane.
There definitely needs to be another lane in each direction.
Los Baños, it opens up for four lanes so you can exit and stuff like that. But
my friend and I once were thinking of driving across the country, and I only got like an hour in. I was so freaked out by the trucks, we turned around. Like, let's just fly.
And if you don't stop it, Los Baños, good luck, you know.
Yeah.
Pee.
Wiser words have never been said, Jim. Just remember Jim Ward said that.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, you were talking about his Al Gore impression.
Yes.
Al Gore, did I need to save this for you? Al Gore had some thoughts on Snowden.
Mm-hmm.
Al Gore did not offer a definitive answer to the traitor hero question.
I don't have a definitive answer to that.
I have a definitive answer as to whether he should have sold Current TV.
Well, that's your own personal
bugaboo. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? I'm so sorry. Inside voice. Okay. He said, I don't put Snowden in either one of those categories, but I will be candid. If you sent up a spectrum, I would push it more away from the traitor side. He clearly violated law, so you can't say, okay, what he did is all right. It's not. But what he revealed in the course of violating important laws included violations of the Constitution that were way more serious than the crimes he committed. In the course of violating important laws, he also provided an important service.
Exactly.
Because we didn't. We need to know how far this
And Cornel West has defended Snowden as like the new John Brown. Who broke the law to stop slavery, to attempt to stop slavery. Instead, we got the Civil War. But, you know, close enough.
I just like to think of him sitting at home pondering whether he should have sold Current and what it did to...
Stephanie Miller.
What?
Look what you did to me.
It got us a tall chair for Jim. So,
take it easy.
Thank God we got canceled from Current.
Right? I mean,
take it easy,
canceled.
Norma Desmond.
He sold the network.
Well, yes. We were the number one show on Current.
Jim, did you know the five Taliban, that they have to stay in Qatar for a year and they will be forced to work at Al Jazeera? That's not true.
No.
The House has overwhelmed.
They're
going to
be Ali Belchi's production assistants.
No, what's stupid is that they're planning to hold the World Cup in Qatar. Where it's like 1,000 degrees.
Yeah.
They'd have to play in the middle of the night.
And 4,000 people will die before a single stadium is, before a single soccer ball is kicked.
That's right.
The House has overwhelmingly approved legislation to allow patients facing long waits for care at veterans facilities to get VA paid for treatment from local doctors. Bill similar to the broader measure the Senate hopes to debate soon. Oh, now a warning. Oh, now they're all over this.
Now a warning?
Okay. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Now they decided to do. Now that they've been shamed into it.
You mean it doesn't hurt when I do this?
Don't.
It's a trucker marathon.
All right, hang on. Which
one? Mobilized.
Ted in Sacramento. You're on. Yikes. Hi, Ted.
Hey.
that guy that's dogging trucks so bad, he needs to come to realize that trucks move the economy.
Yeah.
So do trains.
Everything he has in his house, everything he eats, the fuel in his car, all of that was transported on a truck.
That's because we were made dependent on trucks when we took away the trains. You could have said years before the trucks, the trains drove the economy. So that's a mere fact of the economy changing because of the fact that people wanted to get rid of trains.
We moved the economy.
So did trains before trucks came along.
The more trucks that are out there, okay, can a train go to your grocery store?
Trucks are a lot more nimble than trains.
That's what I said. You have a dedicated
stop. Can it go to your grocery store?
No. Listen to me. Listen to me, please. You have a train that takes...
I think you need to go to Nairwana if you want to listen.
Listen to me. Train cannot go to your grocery store. A train can go to a port where a truck can drive off the highway and deliver those goods to the grocery store. That does not mean that trucks have to clog up the highway. You can have trains do most of the heavy lifting.
We can't bring up things that make him poundy.
Yeah.
And then trucks can deliver them from wherever the trains drop off. The goods that they can haul at, 17 times the rate than a truck could? You could have a mile-long train that would probably replace 500 trucks.
Do you mind if I tape your hands to the table?
Cleaner air and become a train engineer.
You know why you're anti-truck? Because you were in the movie Planes.
Because I was in the movie Planes. Yeah. I'm just telling you, man, the drive stinks, and they should not be able to go in the fast lane.
Put another
lane
in each direction. That would solve a lot of problems on that particular
stretch. So would a train that replaces all those trucks.
Could you take your organ out for me?
What's cheaper?
I'm not trying to distract him. The St. Louis Archbishop, embroiled in a sexual abuse scandal, testified last month that he did not know in the 1980s whether it was illegal for priests to have sex with children, according to a court document just
released. Oh, well. Because you can't have sex with a woman,
Right. So who knew?
Okay, at the very least, it's against church tenets for a priest to have sex with anybody.
Because the church didn't want male heirs of the church to inherit the church property.
Primogeniture.
When he asked when it first, there were different rules in the 80s. I think we all know that.
Well.
Come on.
Not going back to that 80s hair. Not doing
it's the me decade.
When asked when he realized it was a crime for an adult, including priests, to have sex with a child, he shook his head. I don't remember.
Wow.
That was the Reagan 80s excuse. I don't recall.
I'm coming back tomorrow.
Well, if I call you once, I'm not going to call you back. I don't recall.
It's important to feign senility before it actually sets in.
I'm not your hollaback president.
I ain't no hollaback boy.
I believe in family values after I divorced my first wife. I don't recall my first wife.
Yeah, it is really stunning, isn't it, this whole Bo Bergdahl thing when you're thinking you traded arms for hostages.
No, I thought those were Pokemon cards. That's what somebody told me.
I was trading actual arms.
If I did.
For people who had lost their limbs. I was misinformed, just like Bogey.
Wait a minute, he just morphed into Bogey. All right, take us out with Dueling Robert De Niro, shall we?
Oh, hey, tomorrow night. Flappers Yoo-Hoo Room, doing a show called Live from the Bowl. You better check out my website.
It's a great club.
RollsRocky.com.
It's a great club.
I love you, but you should drive trains.
He's got enthusiasms.
All right. Don't email me. Email them. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.